Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk animals this morning. Karen Bryce is here with Awesome Possums, and we're going to get into what Awesome Possums is all about. And that's with a Z at the end. We'll talk about that. And Carolyn Wilder's here, the acting president with the Wildlife Rescue League. Carolyn, it's good to have you back here with us this morning.
It's great to be back. I've missed you.
I missed you, too. I was just saying to you two that we always do this show, and then I see Karen a number of times over the year, but not to do any of this last year was just so weird.
Very strange.
What was it like, Carolyn, for you and for an organization like yours that deals with the injured animals in Northern Virginia?
We actually had an increase because we're virtual, so it's not like people got together. But our helpline last year had over 5,300 calls, which is a couple thousand more than we had the year before. And we think it's primarily because people were working from home, students were at home. And so they're seeing wildlife out during the day that they weren't aware of. So we'd get a lot of calls about, oh, there's a raccoon in the middle of the day. It must be rabbit. Oh, what do? I see these things. So we had a lot more calls. The rehabbers had a lot more animals because they were finding babies and injured animals.
Yeah.
We were getting them to our rehabilitator. So it was actually quite a busy year for us. But again, because the volunteers don't have to interact as much, we put safety protocols in place for contactless delivery and pickup of wildlife. We were quite busy.
I never thought of that because when we have talked to you in the past, and as you have described what you do. You see something, you call a hotline number, and so in some ways you really were set up to handle this.
We were, yes. And the rehabilitators were great because our transport volunteers would pick up from a vet. The vets would bring the box of animals to them, put them in their car. Mm-hmm. Then they would take it, drop it at the front porch. The rehabilitator could then make sure it's the right animal and everything. So we were still in a position to do it. You know, we just put extra safety protocols in place for the volunteers, but helpline, you know, it's virtual all the time. So we were in good shape for that.
Karen, in your case, you have many hats, many hats. But you're an animal rehabilitator, but also you would just start really in the early phases of getting Awesome Possums going, and all of a sudden, everything shuts down.
We were set to have a phenomenal year last year. We had summer camps scheduled through Fredericksburg Parks and Rec, 16 of them to be specific. We had programs through community groups, garden clubs, schools, daycares. The year was you know, packed full of stuff, and it just, everything was canceled. Yeah. So I had to climb into the 21st century and figure out Zoom. And so I was doing presentations on Zoom and things like that, you know, trying to raise money for baby season and the other things that we had going. So it was definitely a challenge. We had to rethink a lot of things that we had, you know, thought we were going to be able to do. How do we do these, and how do we do these safely? Mm-hmm. And by the end of last year, people were starting to want programs in person again. You know, the social distancing, could only have so many people in a room. And so we were able to start generating a little bit of income that way. But that posed a different challenge because the biggest challenge there was getting the possums to keep those little tiny masks on.
Yes, that's so difficult. We should mention that normally there would be three of us in the studio when we were having this kind of an interview. There are four today, and this is Bobby Sue.
This is Bobby Sue. She is my oldest female education possum. I've had her for about a year and a half now. And she came to me from another rehabber. She is not releasable because she lost all but about an inch of her tail. And as I'm sure you remember, their tails are prehensile. So they use them for balance, but also to gather bedding and nesting materials. Mm-hmm. So if they lose their tail, they're not able to gather that material and make themselves a warm bed in the winter. So they're definitely would be at a disadvantage not having their tail in the wild.
So Bobby Sue is on your lap right now, just like a cat would be. Mm-hmm. And you're stroking Bobby Sue, and
just another day in the life.
Just another day another day in life. How many possums do you have now?
I'm up to 5 education animals. It sort of blew up a little last year. But this time last year, I had, like Carolyn was saying, you know, we had so many more animals. Excuse me, I almost doubled the amount of intakes last year than the year before. It was crazy. And of course, I do squirrels, possums, and bunnies. But this time last year, I had almost 30 baby possum because, again, people were out finding these animals. And not to jinx myself, but right now I only have 20 squirrels, but two little possums. So it's starting off, knock on wood, a little bit slower this year.
We should mention that there is a website, Awesome Possums, and again, it's spelled with a UMZ.com. Wow, I was looking at your website the other day. It has changed considerably from what I remember it.
April 1st, we launched the new redesigned website. Shout out to Nick. He is in Florida, a young guy who completely redesigned the website, did a fantastic job. The online store has been redesigned, so you can purchase some Stewart merchandise.
You can. That was that. The store is really.
It has evolved.
Expanded.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was so much possum gear you could get.
Well, we design it all. I have help from Susan at Subi Photography, local mm-hmm. photographer here in Fredericksburg, and she does amazing photography. Stuart and Bobby Sue both had professional photo shoots. She keeps bugging me to get the other possums in the her studio as well to get them some merchandise. But so basically, you know, we design everything that goes on the store. So the possum abilities are endless, Ted. We're just going to keep designing.
And those kind of little puns will continue, I'm afraid.
Absolutely.
For the next hour. Again, awesomepossums.com, and it's UMZ.com, has all kinds of information. And the Wildlife Rescue League is wildliferescueleague.org. And we're going to get into we're going to talk about both groups and how you can get involved. We'll especially get into, when we come back, we'll talk about just taking care of animals and knowing when to call and when to not and those kind of things. When we come back with Carolyn Wilder and Karen Brace this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EB Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We're talking animals this morning with Carolyn Wilder and Karen Brace. Karen's with Awesome Possums, and Carolyn is with the Wildlife Rescue League. Carolyn, talk about what the Wildlife Rescue League does. We talked about kind of how the pandemic had impacted you, but overall, talk about what you do, because you're a great resource and a help to people.
Right. So we are an all-volunteer nonprofit organization, and as I mentioned earlier, we're virtual. We have plans to build a wildlife center in Northern Virginia. But we're just at the beginning stages. We have to try to locate land. We're going to have to build a site, you know, raise money to staff it, et cetera. But our ultimate goal is to have a center in the Northern Virginia area, because that area has not been serviced well. We service it through our home-based rehabilitators. Mm-hmm. Like Karen and others, but as those rehabilitators get older, they're retiring, et cetera, moving away, and so we're having to go farther and farther out with our transports. But basically what we do is we have a helpline that's open 9 to 7, 7 days a week. It's a voicemail system. So you would call in if you had found wildlife, injured, orphaned, or had a question. Somebody would call you back within 30 minutes, and we give either advice like, leave the bird alone, it's learning to fly, its parents are hanging around, it doesn't need rescuing, or, you know, yes, this animal's been caught by a cat, it definitely needs to be rescued, and then we could advise you on where to take it, either to one of our partner vets or a rehabilitator in your area, because it would most likely need antibiotics and treatment. Some people, like I said, call because they see wildlife that they haven't seen during the day and they just want to be assured that just because it's out during the day, it's not rabid, it's not sick. So we give advice, we provide resources, we refer. And then if they do have to take it to one of our partner vets, we have volunteers that will then pick up from those vets after they've been assessed and treated and take those to the home-based rehabilitators. So that's the second leg of it. And then the rehabilitators then take care of this wildlife with the goal of releasing it back out into the wild. We actually now have some transporters that are being trained on doing releases, so the rehabbers don't have to actually go take it themselves. We also have an educational programs. So we are creating programs to go back into the schools once we're allowed to go into the schools again.
Sure.
To educate people at a young age on when you should and shouldn't rescue wildlife, you know, the different categories and, you know, things to know about wildlife. Like I said, the fact that a bird on the ground, if it's hopping around like peanuts in the Snoopy cartoon, it doesn't need to be rescued. It's there for a reason. It's learning to fly versus a nestling that has been blown out of a tree, like we were talking about the winds. If you can't get it back into a nest, mom birds can't pick up their babies like mammals can. And so you would need to rescue that. So we provide that, and we provide that education to community groups, garden groups, senior centers, anybody that's interested in learning more about wildlife and how we can peaceably exist with them, because we've taken over their habitat. They adapt very well to ours, and we need to learn how to deal with that.
Is it an old wives' tale that if I touch a bird and put the bird back in the nest, that the mother will not have anything to do with it?
That is an old wives' tale, and I think it's because our mothers didn't want us to bring baby birds home. But basically, birds have very little sense of smell, so you can handle a bird. You can put it back into a nest. You can warm it with your hands before you do so. You can put it in a box if it needs to go to a rehabilitator, and it's not going to affect anything. Mammals, a little different. They do have a sense of smell, so we always recommend if you have to handle mammals that you do it with a towel, gloves, to limit the amount of odor that you're placing on that animal, because the mother will notice that.
That's so interesting, because I always was told that.
I think my mother told me that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't bring baby birds home. I'm sure that's the reason.
Great. That is really, really good information. I guess the big question that you always get is that you're, you know, people wondering, like you said, should I do something or should I not? And we just don't know.
Right. And, you know, so anytime you find something like that, if you don't know what to do, you can call our helpline.
What is your helpline number?
It's 703-440-0800.
703-440-0800.
Right.
And someone will walk you through.
Right. There's also a lot of information, general information, on our website, wildliferescueleague.org. There's you know, educational information there. If you want presentations, you can email us about that. But yes, our helpline volunteers are trained, and they will answer questions. If they don't know the answer, they will contact a rehabilitator to find out the answer. So one of the purposes of the helpline is to alleviate the need for rehabilitators to be answering their phone all the time, because if they're having to feed squirrels every 30 minutes or every 2 hours or birds every 30 minutes, they really don't have time to be providing advice as well. So that's where we can step in and provide most of the advice that is needed.
Is this a busier time of year than other times, just because this is kind of baby season?
We are in the throes of baby season. And of course, because we had a mild winter, the squirrels were active even earlier. So, you know, by the first part of April, our rehabilitators are starting to get all the squirrels in. They're getting the bunnies, they're getting the possums, the raccoons. Then maybe starting May, June timeframe, we start getting the birds. Then July, August, September, we get the next round of squirrels and bunnies. And, you know, the rehabilitators may be taking care of wild babies through September, sometimes into October. And then depending on when they get them, they may have to overwinter them. They may have to keep them for the whole winter because they can't release them when it's too cold.
Is there ever a downtime?
I always tell all my volunteers that they all need to go to the Caribbean in January because they might have a month off in January if they're not overwintering. But then you also get, we've been getting a lot, it's been interesting, a lot of reptile, a lot of turtle calls. We've been getting a lot of turtle rescues. And so you have to overwinter turtles because they hibernate. And they're not, the state doesn't even allow you to release turtles until like the 1st of May because they have to be warm enough. And we've had a lot of raptor calls because there's been a lot of raptor injuries, owls, hawks, eagles. You've got lead poisoning from the fish that have the lures or pellets, you know, from BB, from rifles, pellets, shotguns.
Yeah.
You know, because they're eating the food or whatever, mm-hmm. catching it. And then being hit by cars because people throw stuff out their window. They think, I can throw an apple core out. It's biodegradable.
Well, I hear that all the time.
This owl in the tree over here sees something go to the ground
yeah.
and swoops down to get it and gets hit by a car. So there's a lot of eye injuries for that because they're being hit. One of our rehabilitators out in Boyce, Dr. Belinda Burwell, I mean, we're like taking, she gets raptors every week. And it seems to me that there's been a lot more of them, which is weird since there's theoretically there's fewer cars on the road.
Yeah.
But she's had a lot of injured raptors this last year.
Wow. Carolyn, you are answering a lot of questions this morning just because, I mean, I'm always hearing about, I'll be riding with people or even some of my own family members, and they'll toss that apple core out, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, it's good. The animals like it.
Yeah. Well, what it does is it attracts the animals to the side of the road.
Right.
And then the hawk or the bird of prey will come down to eat the mouse that's eating the apple core, and that's usually when they get hit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. A lot of things to consider. As a person who does the rehabilitation, sounds like, Karen, you're always busy.
Like Carolyn said, it usually slows down a little bit unless you're overwintering something. Usually by November, we're wrapping things up. We're, you know, starting to release. I try to release everything I have. And so November, December, January wasn't too bad for me this year. I know some rehabbers were starting to get baby squirrels in January, which, you know, you can definitely see the effects of global warming. We never used to get squirrels until mid-late February.
Interesting.
But now we're starting to see them a little bit earlier every year. We basically have one squirrel season now that goes from about January to December,
mm-hmm.
which we didn't used to have, you know, when I started 10, 12 years ago. So winter is the slower time, and that for rehabbers, that's a time to kind of regroup, get your paperwork in order, fix your cages, replace whatever needs to be replaced. So we definitely don't get a break, but it does slow down. For me, we were talking, you know, I revamped my website, and I tried to get the online store and everything done before baby season because it gets busy. It's not, I hesitate to say this, but it's not bad right now with 20 squirrels and two possums and five resident education possums. It's manageable.
And yet it took her an hour and a half to feed everything last night when we got home from dinner.
I was going to say, that's a lot of animals that you've got to feed.
Yeah.
And is it more than once a day for any of them, or is it just once a day?
Some of the squirrels I have get fed, they're a little bit older, so every 5 hours. And then the, you know, adult possums get fed once a day. The little possums I have are actually lapping out of bowls, so it takes 2 minutes to feed them. I just heat their formula and put it in a little bowl, and they come teetering out and drink their milk and go back to bed. So they're pretty easy. But
speaking of going back to bed, is because Bobby Sue is nocturnal, is this cutting into her sleep, and this is not good?
This is a little annoying for her.
Annoying.
But
people say that about me.
Being an education animal, she does obviously come out during the day.
Because sure.
I haven't found anybody that wants an education program at 3 a.m. when she's up yet. So she is the one that has to adjust to us. But we'll go home. She'll go back to bed. She'll be fine.
How did you get going? How did you latch on to possums? Because I mean, you've always been you've been an animal rehabilitator as long as I've known you, mm-hmm. Among other things. But how did this just did Stuart just kind of happen?
Stuart did happen, and that's actually probably one of the most frequent questions I get is why possums?
Well, yes.
It's definitely a niche. Actually, about 4.5 years ago now, 4 years ago, somebody brought me a box of 11 baby possums. And I had always wanted to rehabilitate possums. I just didn't know anything about them. They have a lot of different requirements than other mammals, and I had just never taken the time to learn. So having 11 of them dropped off at your door will force you to learn quickly. So I reached out to a possum rehabber in Culpeper. She has been rehabbing possums for 25, 30 years. And my goal was to check them out, stabilize them, get them to Judy and Culpeper. And then when I opened the box and I saw those 22 little dark beady eyes and those 22 ears and they looking up at me and they look like the little aliens in Men in Black, I was sunk. So I ditched work for the afternoon, went out to Culpeper, and had a possum 101 class with the rehabber out there. And then the more that I learned about them, I realized that they're just, you know, they're our only native marsupial. They're very, very strange animals. Their anatomy in their reproductive system is very strange. And, you know, the more I learned about them, the more interested I became. And I told my husband, that if I ever had a non-releasable possum, I was going to make it an education animal and do programs. So a year later, be careful what you put out into the universe. A year later, Stuart comes along. Mm-hmm. He's not releasable because he has no hip sockets, which makes for an interesting looking x-ray, but he can walk, run, climb. He doesn't because he's lazy, but he can. And so sure enough, I was like, all right, I'm going to jump through all the extra state and federal hoops to make him an education animal. And my very loving, very supportive husband said, nobody is going to pay to see your damn possum. That was 2 years ago. And we are doing very well, thank you very much, because people are paying to see the damn possums.
AwesomePossums.com is the website, and it's UZ for Awesome Possums and UMZ for possums, and also the Wildlife Rescue League, wildliferescueleague.org. Karen Brace and Carolyn Wilder here. Quick break. We'll continue on this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking animals this morning. Karen Brace here with Awesome Possums, and Carolyn Wilder here with the Wildlife Rescue League. So, Carolyn, one of the things, and I just think this is fascinating, is that you have to deal with and you wanted to talk about was birds and wreaths. Because what's not, you know, you put your wreath on the door for the holidays, and a lot of people keep them up longer because they're nice to look at. What could be the problem?
So, and a lot of people have seasonal wreaths. Not everybody only decorates for the holidays. But what happens is the birds will build a nest in your wreath. You know, the finches, the wrens, sure. the sparrows, the smaller birds. And under federal law, it is against the law to remove a nest once there are eggs or baby birds in it.
Oh, I didn't know that that was a law.
It is a federal law.
A
it's
federal
under the
law.
What, Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Mm-hmm. Of God knows what kind of, what year it was,
yeah.
as amended. So unless it's a non-native or a nuisance species, which is basically pigeon, English sparrow, starling, and most of them don't, you know, except the sparrow wouldn't be building in a wreath, you're not allowed to destroy or remove a nest once there are eggs in it. Well, your wreath is on your front door. And then there's, so people say, well, I can't get in and out my front door because there's this nest here. So I want, what do I do with it?
Right.
And the question is, you go in and out your garage or your side door, or you could potentially move it maybe a foot away. But, you know, like if you wanted to put it on a wall mm-hmm. there. But other than that, you can't because the mother and father aren't going to be able to find it. It's not like baby birds make a whole lot of noise. And it's not like eggs make noise.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you don't want a nest in your wreath, take your wreath down for the next few months. Don't put up that spring and summer wreath because once it's there and there's eggs there, you can't do anything. You can destroy a nest as many times as you want as long as there's nothing in it. But once there are eggs in it, you are not allowed to destroy the nest.
Interesting. I did not know that, and I never even thought about this time of year not wanting to have a wreath there just because it makes sense. I mean, their birds are going to see that and go at it.
Yes, it's a nice secure place. It's got already has its own decoration around it. They just have to add to it.
And yeah. check your hanging baskets too.
Yes, hanging baskets.
A lot of times this year, in fact, I just bought a hanging basket, and I noticed couple of days ago that a bird was starting to build a nest in it. And like Carolyn said, as long as there's no eggs in it, you can keep taking out the nesting material mm-hmm. and eventually, in theory, the bird will figure it out and stop trying to nest there. Mm-hmm. But Carolina wrens are the biggest culprits that I've seen. They love hanging baskets. And if you're not paying attention, most people just reach up and water. And if there's baby birds in there, those baby birds are going to get a bath. And it's not good for baby birds.
Mm-mm. As far as squirrels go, and are there more squirrels? Have you done a squirrel census lately? Because there seem to be so, at least in my yard.
Well, it's because I keep releasing them in your neighborhood.
You must, because we have so many squirrels. It just is, it's maddening.
Well, but remember, she said, because of global warming, and
yeah.
they're nesting, they are mating, they mate multiple times a year. It used to be twice.
Mm-hmm.
I think now we're up to three times a year. So, yes, you do have more squirrels. They don't have birth control.
Okay. Now, I see the nests in trees, mm-hmm. and it just seems to me, and I don't know if this is how they do it. Those nests that the squirrels make, they're just beyond, I mean, they're just high enough that you can't do anything with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how they just will be just out of your reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing that I do want to stress is almost every single one of the 20 squirrels that I have right now came to me because somebody did tree work in the spring. If you can avoid it, try to do tree work. If you can avoid it, don't do it in the spring. Try to do it in the winter.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. in the spring, it's really easy to see if there's a nest because there's no leaves on the trees. So if there is there's no Migratory Squirrel Act to protect the nests, but I wish there was.
I was going to say yet.
Yet. Ooh, I could petition for that. That's my next goal. But, if you, obviously, human welfare, I get it, has to come, I hesitate to say first because I'm a rehabber, but, it is important. So if you have a tree that is dead and it's going to fall on your house or your car or potentially injured somebody, yes, a tree has to come down.
Yeah.
But if you're just thinning trees and things like that, look up. The squirrel's nest, you've seen them. They're big.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no leaves on the trees, you can see them. If there's a nest and the tree does not absolutely have to come down, if you can wait and do the tree work in the winter, so much better, because then when the tree falls, the babies scatter all over the place. There are ways that we can help the public try to reunite mom with those babies, because the best chance those babies, baby anything, is going to have is with the mom. We can raise, we can release, you know, successfully healthy animals, but moms do a much, much better job than we do, especially with bunnies. Bunnies are tricky in a rehab setting. So if there's a way to get those babies back, whether it's putting a bird back in a nest or reuniting squirrels or, you know, putting bunnies back in the nest, that is the best shot that baby is going to have, is to get it back with mom.
Well, if you don't know where the nest is,
then it makes it a lot trickier.
Right. But the moms have multiple nests. So
squirrels.
The squirrel moms have multiple nests. So if a nest like blows down, if you can get her, you know, if she can locate those babies. So, you know, as Karen said, we have ways of, you know, there's the YouTube. Remember the YouTube video of the baby squirrel sounds?
Mm-hmm.
You could play that while the babies are in a box and they're warm, and she will come and get them if she can find them and move them to another nest. The other thing, though, is the bunny nests. And this is something we probably should mention. When you get ready to start mowing in the spring, if you see a brown patch in your yard, don't assume that it's a dead brown patch. It could very well be a bunny nest, because they will dig in. They put grass over it. They will put, you know, build like in tree root areas and stuff. So you need to look, because you can lift that patch of grass up and you can look in there and you can see that there's bunnies. You just put that patch of grass back over, because a lot of the orphan bunny things come from mowing, weed whacking, dogs and cats finding them. But you can put them back, and then you watch, because the mothers only come twice a day, dawn and dusk, to feed the baby bunnies. So people are always calling saying, oh, nobody's been around all day. You know, obviously something's happened to the mom. And there's ways, again, the helpline volunteers or a rehabilitator can tell you, you know, how to look at a baby bunny to see if it's being fed. And if it is, you put it back, you leave it alone. But as Karen said, they shock easily, because they are prey to everything, predator to nothing. And that's why the mom stays away. She doesn't want to attract predators.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't do well in rehab, because they just freak out and die. And so you try to make sure, if at all possible, that they go back to the nest and that mom takes care of them.
I forgot, Karen, that we did in one of the shows we did, you played that YouTube with the sounds, and you can put that out to try to bring the
Very high pitched squeal. Almost a lot of people would mistake it for a bird.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if the babies are warm, that is key, baby squirrels, because a mom will not take back a cold baby. She thinks it's dead, or it's, you know, and if they get really cold, they stop moving, so they act dead as well. She will not take them back. But if you have a tree that has fallen or that you've cut down, you noticed, oh, crap, there was a nest. You can even take the nesting materials, put it in a box, nail it as high up into a neighboring tree as you possibly can. For people that have Bluetooth speakers, it works great.
Mm-hmm.
I send them the YouTube video with the squirrels just squealing their butts off. And you put the Bluetooth speaker in the box with the warm babies as high up on a tree as you can get it. And then you leave the area, because if mom sees people or dogs or cats or whatever in the area, she's not going to come back, because it's not safe for her.
Yeah.
And then you just, you know, go back in the house, watch from a window, peek around the corner. And if you start to see squirrel activity, if mom's around, I've had people report that she has come back within 10 or 15 minutes, and one by one, she will go. And she doesn't grab the babies by the nape of the neck like kittens. She will grab them by their belly skin, and they kind of wrap around her face. I don't know how she gets up the tree. And then one by one, she will move them to an alternate nest site. It's really amazing to watch.
Hmm. Interesting. We've also had discussions about how it's not a good idea for the animal to relocate a squirrel from your yard.
Or any animal, for that matter. I've had multiple people that I've had conversations with, no names mentioned, Ted, who used to relocate, or maybe still do relocate, squirrels in particular.
Nobody in this room does anymore. But we're not mentioning names.
And the theory is, it's a tree. You know, I have a really nice mm-hmm. park a few miles down the road,
yep.
and I'm gonna take them to a nice park. Well, the main problem this time of year is 50% of the squirrels out there, all the females, have babies. So if you relocate mom, then either those babies are, if they're really small, they're going to starve to death. Or if they're 5-6 weeks old, eyes open, they're going to get hungry, come tumbling out of the nest. And a baby squirrel without its mom will actually go up to a human being. I had a couple of calls this year of people that they've called me and they're like, we were in the yard and this little squirrel just came up and climbed up our leg. Well, that, I don't have to ask you any other questions. If that happens, something happened to mom, that squirrel is hungry. How they know to seek out humans, it's amazing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bring me that squirrel immediately. But when you relocate, you are taking that animal, whether it's a raccoon, a squirrel, whatever, you're taking that animal out of the habitat that it knows. It knows where the food is. It knows where the water is. It knows where the predators are. It has its nest and all of its safe spots. Mm-hmm. And you're basically putting it in an area where it doesn't know where anything is. And a lot of times, into somebody else's territory. Squirrels are extremely territorial. And if you dump it into a nice park, it could very well get its little fuzzy butt kicked because it's in somebody else's territory.
What do you do about raccoons in the attic?
Okay, so people traditionally have had to, they try to live trap them and relocate them, or they'll kill trap them or whatever. But there are actually conflict management pest controls, wildlife conflict management pest control companies. And if you call our helpline and ask, we have a couple of references we can, referrals we can give you. And what they will do, because mom's usually in the attic with babies. And so what they can do is mom goes out during the day to find food and they can put some type of an extruder device in the hole where mom is coming in and out. That keeps mom from coming back in. But it means you're not having to trap mom because by law, if a pest control or animal control traps a raccoon, they are supposed to, by law, euthanize it because of the potential for rabies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you've killed mom and you've got orphan babies in your attic.
Right.
But if you keep her from coming in, the pest control guy can go in the attic, gather up the babies, take them outside, and just as Karen was saying about the squirrels, you keep them warm, you put them in a box, mom comes, and she gets them, and she moves them because she's going to have an alternate site.
Okay.
But that way, you don't kill the mom, mm-hmm. the babies don't have to go to rehab because mom's not around, and you haven't violated any laws because you're not relocating the raccoon because all you're doing is keeping her from going back in the house. You're not moving her out of the yard.
She's
relocating herself. And the same thing happens with foxes and other animals that people don't want in their yard. There are ways to try to encourage wildlife to move. If you have foxes dinning under your deck, we try to tell people if you can just wait a few weeks, they're going to wean, they're playing in the yard, they're fun to watch, etc. And then when they're weaned, they move on. But if you can't, there's bright lights, loud music, and my understanding is SpongeBob SquarePants Mylar Balloon is particularly effective at, convincing mom that this is not a neighborhood she wants to live in. I've learned that from an animal control officer.
Because of the movement. Same thing with groundhogs.
Yes. I mean, anything that's, it makes it uncomfortable for them to stay there,
yeah.
they will self-relocate at okay. that point. And so you're not violating the law. You're not having to trap or kill.
They're making that decision.
They're making the decision themselves, and they do have multiple sites. But it may take a day or two to be moving 5 or 6 kits or pups or whatever type of wildlife you've got. So there are alternate ways to live with them or to live without them in a way that doesn't, jeopardize their lives or orphan the babies.
We need to take a quick break and we'll wrap this up. We'll let you know how you can get involved and find out more about both of these great organizations. Karen Brace and Carolyn Wilder here. We'll conclude on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Carolyn Wilder and Karen Brace here with a couple of great organizations. And if you want to get involved, Carolyn, I'll start off with you. For people that want information and find out more about the Wildlife Rescue League, what do they need to know? And I guess you're always needing people to get the training to be rehabbers, but also to donate to what you do.
Absolutely. If you go to our website, wildliferescueleague.org, there are links to an Amazon wish list, because we're always needing, you know, nesting materials, caging, formula, etc., and you can always donate that way. We are in the middle of a virtual fundraising that goes through Alexandria. It's called Spring to Action, and it's spring to the number action. You can go to that website, click, put in Wildlife Rescue League as the organization. It takes you to a page for us, and you can donate there. It's a one day of giving on April 28th, but they have early giving going on. It's like early voting, I guess. So that's another way. We're always willing to take donations of that. We have people that actually make knitted nests that are used to transport or carry baby birds, baby animals. And of course, because we are a volunteer organization, we are always looking for transporters, helpliners, marketing people that will write articles. We have a website, etc., and you can go to our website, and there's buttons for volunteer where you can find out more information, fill out an application, somebody would contact you. You can call our helpline number, hit extension 6, I think it is, and you can leave a message there saying you're interested in participating or knowing more about volunteer opportunities. So we're always looking for help, because people transition in and out of different positions, and there's always a great need, particularly this time of year where we have 3 or 4 transporters a day going out.
So if you're interested, wildliferescueleague.org, and we'll give you all kinds of information. I've only got about a minute or so left, but I don't get Carolyn as much as I get you, Karen. So we'll come. I'll have you back at some point, and we'll do again. An awesome possums show, but you do all kinds of things around the community.
Yeah, I do a lot of local events, and if anybody is interested in having an education possum come to your school, community group, business, whatever, there is a contact form on the website, awesomepossums, again, with a Z.com. We also have an Amazon wish list, or anybody who is local, we have a PDF wish list. You can always contact me through the website if you want to donate anything from the wish list.
Laugh more, hiss less is one of the shirts that you have that I think is great. Bobby Sue has been a model person here this morning. Has she been looking for dark?
Yeah, they're nocturnal, so she is just trying to curl up and be able to go back to sleep.
Karen Brace and Carolyn Wilder, boy, thank you both for coming in. This was a lot of fun and a lot of good information, and we'll do something again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome Possums and Wildlife Rescue League, worth your time. Check them out. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday on News Talk 1230 WFVA. See ya.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.